Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Moments away, we're going to discuss raised beds, grow bags, containers, which is better. We'll talk about that. But first, a word from Honey Bee Healthy.
Since 2000, Honey Bee Healthy Inc. has helped beekeepers maintain healthy and thriving hives. Attracting pollinators to your garden this year is as simple as hanging a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of sugar, water, and Honey Bee Healthy Original. Do not be alarmed to see birds, bees, butterflies dining together at the feeder. Pollinators can coexist peacefully. Honey Bee Healthy is offering a 10% discount on an 8-ounce bottle of Honey Bee Healthy Original to the show's listeners. Enter discount code BEEGARDEN, that's BEEGARDEN, at checkout. For more information, mixing instructions, and a purchase product, visit honeybeehealthy.com.
So, we have people who listen to us that garden in all genres of the word garden, from raised beds to containers to in the ground to straw bale to aquaponics to hydroponics, the whole gamut. And people will often say, well, is there one better than the other? And the answer is yes and no. We're going to go over raised beds versus ground garden gardens versus containers and give you our thoughts on the advantages and disadvantages to those three specific types of gardens.
Yeah. So one is, I guess we'll start with what people might think is the most common. It's ground gardening. So that's when you take your little shovel or big shovel, turn the soil over, or use a rototiller, what have you. That's ground gardening. And then you grow your seeds and plants into the ground. So one is that you have to have you have to think of the commitment to that. So you would have to choose a spot. You would have to choose a spot that works for you and your yard and the sun, and it's going to be there, assuming, for a while.
And or is the soil good? You got a soil test. Was there a good soil there? Is there going to be such a commitment to revitalizing the soil that it doesn't make practical sense to go in the ground? Are you, like you said, are you going to be there for a while, or are you going to be, some people move every so many years just because that's what they like to do. So that may not be the greatest move, though it's the least cost because you don't have much invested in it. It's just the ground. If somebody moves in, they don't like it, they just seed it with grass and be done.
Absolutely. And also it would be limited to accessibility. That might be too low for some people. It might be something where the only spot in your yard where ground garden would work wouldn't be easy to get to, type of thing.
I would say, if we did a survey, if everybody listens to this show, what type of gardening do you? I think the predominant one is going to be in the ground, or at least at some point in their gardening career. Yeah, I did in the ground for a number of years until. And some of them are still doing in the ground now, but I think the story is until, or yes, I did at one point. And there's disadvantages to in the ground as well. Less control of weeds for the most part. Now, if you are a meticulous gardener where you have the time to commit to 40 or 60 hours a week to go through your whole backyard and work, and you literally could have any magazine cover on, photograph it, and it looks pristine, wonderful, thumbs up to you, you get 2 gold stars. Many of us don't have that either time, patience, or ability to manicure a garden to that level. So weeds are going to be a much more readily common occurrence. Now, that doesn't mean that it's bad. When it gets bad, and it's whenever you allow those weeds to take over, like we have, because of the size or because of time commitments where other things are more prioritized than spending 4 or 5 hours in an afternoon weeding.
Right.
And we're not bad people. You're not bad people if you have a weedy garden. We're not getting to that.
Yeah. And then also there could be erosion. So if you, before we changed the raised beds, we kind of did this hilling system where we did these raised berms type of thing. And it gave us a nice loamy, loose soil. But then also when it rained, it could erode away, wind, etc. So that could be a problem too if you don't want to deal with some of that erosion.
But raised beds, great way to get into gardening. You can go 4x4. You can go 2 foot wide by 6 foot long. You can do the whole backyard. it's, you know, the yard or the backyard or the front yard is your canvas. You can create it however you want at almost no expense. Just some check box. You just got to check some boxes off and then make a move and start running towards the finish line.
Right. So then we have raised bed. So this is less of a commitment. Still could be a commitment because you are bringing in soil and you're building a raised bed. But if you just build a frame, you could possibly remove that if you were to move. You still have to make a decision of where you're going to put it.
With all of these, sunlight, adequate sunlight, most sunlight in the day is where these beds need to be located. With raised beds, out of the three, I think that is it's the most expensive because most people will think a raised bed has got to be 2x12 pressure-treated lumber, fill in the blank, the number of the 4 foot wide by 8, 12, 16, 20 feet long. They don't have to be 2x12 or 2x8 or 2x10. We've seen many beautiful gardens in which they were near a wooded area and they were able to harvest trees from the forest or the woods that are 8 or 10 inches in diameter, and they created a perimeter and then filled that internal spot with compost and created a raised bed that way.
Right. And that's definitely an option. You can get very creative with raised beds. You can get portable raised beds or pop-up raised beds, whatever you want to call them. You can get raised beds that you either build yourself or purchase that are off the ground for accessibility.
Elevated.
Yeah, elevated for accessibility. There's going to be less weeds, and you can pretty much place them anywhere as long as you have the space and the sunlight.
Right. And with, you know, you got the beds, you're going to have to spend money on that. You're going to have to invest money on that. The soil, you're going to have to invest money on that. And with all of these, if you're going to top dress your in-ground garden or fill your raised beds or as we get to the containers, you want good quality compost. You want good quality. El Cheapo stuff you bought on sale, you're going to get terrible results. Milwaukee Area Blue Ribbon Organics is a good source. Other places in the country, call your local independent garden center or go on your favorite, your local Facebook garden group and say, hey, where's a good place to get good quality bulk soil? Not necessarily the city pile that's free is the best way to go because you don't know what everybody's thrown in that. And now it's broke down. And like we talked about in the first segment, there can be a multitude of any type of chemicals or diseased plants that have broke down and it may have not got hot enough. And those spores are still active in that pile. And you're going to bring it home and think you've done a good thing. And it just caused all kinds of problems for your garden.
Right. That's something to keep in mind as well, especially when we talk about container gardening. So because you still have to put some sort of soil in your containers for container gardening, it is definitely very much less of a commitment, and it can be beneficial in many ways, whether it be where you're like, I want to have XYZ growing right out my kitchen door so I can harvest them.
Kitchen garden. That's what the Europeans call it.
Yeah. So I can harvest that, you know, every day, whether it be fresh lettuce, green beans, whatever. But then you also have to keep in mind of where the light is.
Rootmaker.com has pop-up raised beds. They have grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons. You can use coupon code ROOT, ROOT24, to save 15% on your order at checkout. All coupon codes you hear during the show can be found at our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Under the money tab at the top of the page, they're all listed for you, so you have access to them. And containers can be, it doesn't have to be a terracotta pot or a grow bag. You can use half of a whiskey barrel. I've seen containers, a morph between a container and a raised bed, those 55 gallon blue drums cut in half and on stilts or actually setting on the ground. You want to make sure they're food grade. And if you feel growing in plastic, it's fine. Have at it. Some people have, do not like that type of situation, but it can be anything. It can be a box that you make with some, you know, 2x4s or anything you can think of. That's what a container can be.
Right. I mean, you can even do containers easily in your home that you would bring in or vice versa. Hanging baskets. There's a lot of options in containers. I love container gardening. I think it's very smart and fun, and I think it's a way to incorporate vegetables and or other plants in your life without a huge commitment.
Now, with a container, what can you plant in a container? It's based on how big the container is. 3-gallon grow bag, you can get one pepper. 5 or 7 or 10 gallon grow bag, you can get a couple of potatoes. You can get a tomato in there. A 1-gallon grow bag, you can grow some leaf lettuce. So it's really up to you, and you don't want to overcrowd things. Now, out of these three, the containers are going to be your most difficult to keep hydrated because of the limited amount of soil. A device that has less soil dries out quicker. So ground's going to dry out slower than a raised bed, and raised bed's going to dry out slower than a 5-gallon or 10-gallon or even 20-gallon grow bag or terracotta pot or a half of a whiskey barrel. So hydration, dripworks.com, Eaton Brothers with a soaker hose. There's a lot of options in order to hydrate. And with all of these, we talk about it all the time, you can utilize mulch in your containers, in your raised beds, on the ground. Now, Holly, out of all three of these that we've talked about, and there's like a dozen more that we could, which one would you say a beginner, if they've never gardened before, should go with? And two, if you were a beginner, knowing what you know now, what would you go with?
I would definitely start with a container, and I think that other people should start with containers or like a pop-up raised bed that could be a container too. It's going to teach you things like how to just grow plants, because I think I know what you would choose,
mm-hmm.
but I think because a lot of people, knowing my background, I didn't grow up like on a farm. I would think that a container would be easy for me to manage. Not a huge commitment if I hated it. Allow me for accessibility where on days where I'm just like not feeling it, I don't have to worry about weeding, and then still be able to have access to a harvest.
I would go with, for a beginner, I would have them go with a 4x4 foot in-ground garden that has good soil. It's 16 square feet. You can do the square foot garden method if you want to, a phenomenal way in order to maximize your space. But it will give you the ability to see how the soil reacts. And it's not a big commitment. And you can get pop-up raised beds in the same size. So it's a good way, and it doesn't take up a lot of space. I'm not saying you have to dig up the whole backyard and have 16 or 2,400 square feet, which to somebody who wants to have a lot of produce would think that that would be the way to go. The bigger, the better, the more tomatoes I can have, the more cucumbers I can have, pumpkins, all that. But with that, you have to times and multiply the time in which is spent that you do not currently understand at this point where, oh, I want all this, I'm going to have a big backyard.
But why the in-ground or the 4x4?
Because if you don't like it, let it grow back to
wheat. Go ahead. Is it because of crop rotation?
No, just in low commitment to cost. Soil test, dig up a 4x4 square foot. If you like it and things go well and you're willing to commit, you can go bigger. If not, and you find a girlfriend or boyfriend and you get married and you move out, it just goes into grass and the next person takes over and there's nothing there. You don't have to take a raised bed down. You don't have to dump soil out of containers. No cleanup whatsoever.
Okay.
So that being said, it soon is warming up. Well, it is warming up in a lot of places in the country, and you're going to have to start worrying about those Japanese beetles, weevils, boars in your backyard and front yard.
And what better way to prevent these pests from destroying your garden than by controlling them while they are larvae? GrubGon is an easy-to-apply granular product that can spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. Developed by Phylum Bioproducts from naturally occurring bacteria, GrubGon is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only scarab pests, and it's safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
If you already have Japanese beetles flying around your yard, and some of you do, you can certainly get BeetleGon, which is an organic water dispersible powder that can be sprayed directly on your edible plants. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com, the natural solution. phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylum